Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself, Pastor Scott Porath, begin a study which we're going to call Mormonism Exposed.
Yeah. Hold on tight, folks. I mean, fasten your seatbelts. This may blow you out of your seats.
That's always the way it is with Pastor Kuhlman. folks listening at home, you maybe have heard the name Glenn Beck before. He's on the radio, he's on the TV, he has books, he even holds rallies every now and then.
Yeah.
And so if you're familiar with him and if you've listened to him, you know he's not really shy about talking about the faith. Oftentimes he's encouraging his listeners to pray for certain things. He sounds very Christian, but you may not know that Glenn Beck is a Mormon.
That's right.
So I think one of the questions that we're confronted with today, Brent, then, is Mormonism Christian?
Well, I'm glad we've got a special guest here today who can help answer that question for us.
We do. We have with us as a special guest today Dr. Alvin Schmidt, who earned his doctorate at the University of Nebraska. Go Huskers!
All right.
He's also the retired professor of sociology at Illinois College, has written in a variety of journals, and his most recent book, at least the one that I've read, is called The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, welcome to Table Talk. Glad to have you here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, being as we have an expert here, let's just throw that question your way. Is Mormonism Christian?
Well, the answer is very simple, no.
Well, that was a short program, folks.
Well, I should expand on that, but that's truly true. It is not. And increasingly, Mormons, including Beck, whom you mentioned just a little while ago, and I assume most of the audience has heard of him or sees him because he's on Fox News every day, Monday through Friday, from 4 to 5 on Central Time. He has his own program. He's a very well-informed individual. He doesn't pull any punches, so to speak. He's politically quite conservative, and periodically he'll mention in some form or fashion that he is a Christian. I don't know how often he mentions that he's a Mormon, but we know that he is. And increasingly the Mormons have been trying to tell the general public that they are a Christian. It's just another denomination. Well, that is a very deceptive statement, and they seem to be halfway successful with that thing because so many of our people today, including Christians, really do not know when an organization is Christian and when it no longer is Christian. The Mormons in no way can be defined as Christian. Just because they use the name, the Churches of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, does not make them a Christian. Yet I've heard that very argument once espoused by a Mormon on television. Well, after all, the name of Jesus Christ is part of our name, so we must be Christian. It's specious logic, to say the least. But I might mention just a few things why they are not Christian. For one, Mormonism denies the Trinity. That's very basic to Christianity. It also teaches that Jesus has a spirit brother named Lucifer. It says that Jesus was born of Mary, who had sex with God the Father named Elohim. Elohim was an immortal man, but Mary was a mortal human being. So that is the birth of Jesus. Now, how does that fit? And even that they often try to explain as a virgin birth because it was different, but it conflicts with Christianity to no end. It teaches that the Book of Mormon is another testament of Jesus Christ. Just last week, my wife and I were up at Valparaiso University for a session up there, and in the motel we stayed in was Marriott Hotel, which is run by the founder of it. William Marriott was a Mormon, and in the desk drawer, along with the Gideon Bible, there was a Book of Mormon, and right on the cover is the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. Well, that's very, very false and historically totally wrong. I might further add that Mormonism teaches, and here's a common saying that Joseph Smith had, quote, as man is, God was, as God is, man may become.
Whoa, we've got to stop you there. Whoa. That last quote from Joseph Smith. So what's Joseph Smith really saying there?
Well, that man can become God, and that God once was not God. He was once simply a man, but became God.
That's not Christianity.
Well, that's exactly my point. I'll say it again. As man is, God was, past tense. As God is, in other words, now, man may become. So man may become God. And that's a basic teaching of Mormonism.
So Jesus,
man may become God.
So Jesus was simply a man,
mm-hmm.
became God.
Mm-hmm.
And like him, you can do likewise.
Right.
Sounds to me like a religion that sets up Jesus as example, pattern.
Definitely Jesus is often seen as a model, but even there, Joseph Smith and his successors have added to that and made it more convoluted, if I may use that word. But, you know, there's another thing. If the average Christian probably knows, when we would ask, where or how did Christ atone for the sins of the world? And they would probably say, by dying on the cross, which is very clearly taught in Scripture. What does Mormonism say? Christ atoned for man's sin in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, have you ever seen a Mormon church having a cross? Now, by the way, I'm talking about the Utah group. I'm not talking about the reorganized church now or called the Community of Christ. They do use a cross, but the Utah group, which takes in about 95% of the Mormons, never have a cross anywhere. Why? Because the cross is not where Christ atoned for the sins of the world, but in the Garden of Gethsemane.
And
therefore it rejects the cross. Mormons will never have a cross. Never, ever.
So what do they teach as far as how Jesus atoned for sins in Gethsemane?
Well, that's where he suffered, and that's how he atoned for sins. It's just another convoluted, distorted statement that came out of the lips of Joseph Smith. And they follow that. So another example that's not Christian. It rejects saved by grace alone. Very, very clearly in Smith's writings and in the successors. Sola gratia, as we would sometimes say, you know, using the Latin expression for grace alone. And it teaches that human beings in this life can reach perfection. Well, that's not what the Scripture teaches. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, as St. Paul put it.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps most startling of all, Mormonism teaches a plurality of gods. There's not just one God. There are many gods.
And you can become one.
Most people don't know that, but it's part of Mormonism. And Joseph Smith espoused that doctrine about 2 weeks before he was assassinated in Carthage, Illinois. In the middle of June, I think June 14th, if memory doesn't fail me, and on the 27th, he was assassinated. And that's, you know... And if you read, you see, there are basically three basic books that Mormonism goes by. The Book of Mormon, the other one is Doctrine and Covenants, another one is called the Pearl of Great Price. And that particular book consists of two, the Book of Moses and the Book of Abraham. And it's in the Book of Abraham that the plural of gods is mentioned over 40 times. And it's in that particular book where Smith said, I will preach the plurality of gods. That was on June 16th, look at my notes here, 1844, just 2 weeks before he was killed. And so another thing you might want to remember, whether Mormonism is Christian or not, Mormons baptize for the dead.
Right.
Christians do not, never have. Those are some items for us to, you know, remember that Mormonism, even though they call themselves Christian, by no way, that's why I made the simple statement, no, really, that's all there's to it, but you have to explain it. So those are my explanations, and hopefully people can latch on to some of them. I'd gladly repeat them if they would want me to.
Dr. Schmidt, can you, just for the sake of our listeners, explain a little more what they mean by baptisms for the dead?
Well, basically, by baptizing someone for the dead, you can bring this person back into the graces of God, the grace of God. It's basically it. You know, that you can redeem a person after he's dead.
So if I were a Mormon and say my brother or my uncle had not been baptized in the church, I would go in on their behalf and undergo a baptism for them, even though they're already dead.
Yes, it's a proxy baptism.
Okay.
And you know, they've done it for many, many people, even many who have not even known that it was done for them. And the interesting thing about the baptism for the dead that they practice is that underlies the whole Mormon genealogy premise.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know that they have a lot of genealogy information. Indeed, they do. And that's also prompted or motivated to find records, biographical information on a given person. You have to have that before you can baptize them for the dead.
Dr. Schmidt, just a quick question to back up a little bit here in the remaining few minutes we have in our first segment. Could you explain why they call themselves Latter-day Saints? Well, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, well, let's see. Initially, in 1830, when Mormonism was founded by Joseph Smith, it was simply called the Church of Christ. And then it underwent two changes, and the most recent change was the one that happened in Missouri before they came to Illinois. In the Kansas City area, they changed it to the Church of the Latter-day Saints of Christ. In other words, they are the true Christian church of the last days in time, or hence the word latter days.
So in other words, they're the only true church on earth, right? That's what they claim.
Yes.
And so Lutherans, Roman Catholics, Baptists, any other, you know, we're not. That's what they're saying.
They're all apostate Christians.
So Joseph Smith, could you tell us just briefly about what he claimed to have happened to him when he was praying out in the woods and how this came about?
Yeah, well, if you read his own word, there are about four different accounts that he has given about that. And many of them, none of these accounts are totally they contradict each other in certain places. The one that most commonly is used by Mormons is the one that he gave in 1838, is that where God appeared to him. And, you know, this is, again, I might add just incidentally, is another parallel between him and Muhammad. You know, Muhammad claimed that the angel Gabriel appeared to him at a cave, and now you have something similar with Joseph Smith, that God appeared to him and told him that there were golden plates hidden, and he had to wait for them 3 years to go and dig them up, and those golden plates basically supposed to be the Book of Mormon. He said he translated those golden plates, as no one has ever seen, except some people vouch for it, but then when closely quizzed, they said they saw them through the eyes of faith. And some who said they had seen him later on denied that this was true. But that's basically it, that he was given this revelation to go to those plates, dig them up, and then to translate them. And that resulted in the Book of Mormon. There's a lot more to that argument as well. But briefly put, that's about it.
So from the very foundations, if you will, it's been difficult to pin down what a Mormon is. And I know some of the things that Brent and I have come across is this idea of a progressive revelation where what was once taught is now no longer taught and so forth. And maybe we can pick up on that topic when we come back on the other side of the break.
Fine.